This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
The road to royalty runs through the Quad Cities, and whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, stay in the know all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following on X and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag road to royalty. From Veterans Memorial Stadium in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, we welcome you into a July 4th edition of River Bandits Baseball as Quad Cities fires up a new three-game series against the Cedar Rapids Colonels, the High A affiliate of the Minnesota Twins. Good Friday evening, everybody, and happy 4th of July. Thanks so much for at least celebrating part of your day with us here at the ballpark. Quad Cities looking for back-to-back wins against the Cedar Rapids Colonels, and believe it or not, their first win on the 4th of July since 2019. That's right, Quad Cities comes into tonight having dropped four consecutive Independence Day matchups in all four of those losses coming against the Cedar Rapids Colonels, including an 8-5 defeat last year. On July 4th this season, or I should say in the last 5 years, the Bandits have been outscored 33-13 by the Cedar Rapids Colonels on July 4th. Every single July 4th game the Bandits have played in since they became a Royals affiliate in 2021 has been against Cedar Rapids. So they're trying to snap a little bit of a losing streak, at least as far as the calendar is concerned. But Quad City's trying to build upon a three-game series win that they picked up with yesterday's victory at Modern Woodman Park. The Colonels came to Davenport on Tuesday. The Bandits beat him in the series opener 10-8. The Colonels delivered a heartbreaking loss to the River Bandits on Wednesday in 6-5 fashion. And then yesterday, Quad City scored in each of the first three innings. That's all the offense they needed to ultimately defeat the Colonels 4-3. Felix Aronde put together an excellent start. He got everything going for Quad Cities on the mound. The 22-year-old out of Cuba put together arguably his best appearance as a Bandit, tossing five scoreless innings, facing just two batters over the minimum, and striking out five while throwing under 60 pitches to get through five complete frames. Offensively, the Bandits were lifted by Sam Coolisingham and Callan Moss, who got QC out to a 2-0 lead in the first. The Bandits scored a run on an error in the second, and then in the third, a two-out RBI double from Chris Brito was the first hit in his multi-hit performance. The Bandits would not score the rest of the way. In fact, they'd have just one hit over the final five innings of their night offensively. But like I said, it was enough for the pitching staff. After five scoreless innings from Felix Aranda, Marlon Willis gave up a couple of runs in the sixth, but limited the damage and then rebounded with a scoreless seventh before Tommy Molsky stranded the tying runners on base in the eighth, and Zachary Collier gave up just one run, but ultimately picked up his season-high sixth save of the season in the ninth. Let's go ahead and turn the page to this Friday night contest, and again, the start of a weekend series here at Veterans Memorial Stadium. It's the first time the Bandits have taken on their fellow Iowa-based club at the Vet this season. For the Colonels, we begin with their lineup. It's, of course, put together by Brian Meyer. The Colonels won the first half of the Midwest League West Division. They are 44-34 overall this year and 4-8 in the second half. They'll have the speedster and second baseman Kyle DeBarge leading off, as he did throughout the whole three-game series in Davenport. Billy Amick will bat second and play first, and batting third, it's the third baseman Danny DeAndrade. Pancho Ruiz will move up a few spots in the order, batting fourth and doing the catching. Brandon Whitaker bats fifth and plays short, while Misael Urbina bats sixth and plays left. Andy Lugo is the DH, hitting seventh. Caden Kendall had a great three-game stretch in Davenport. He'll bat eighth tonight and play center, while batting ninth, that's the right fielder, Justin Connell. He gets his first start of the week. Speaking of making their first start this week, the Colonels right-hander Cole Peschel is going to get the ball for Brian Meyer. The 22-year-old ready out of Fairmont, West Virginia, will make his seventh start of the year for the Colonels. He is 2-1 with a 3.86 ERA, a 1.15 whip, and a 2.22 opponent's batting average. Last week, he pitched against the South Bend Cubs on June 28th, took a no decision, going five innings and allowing three runs, five earned, on a season-high matching four walks and just one strikeout. Peschel, as a result of those walks, threw 80 pitches to get through those five innings, so he'll look to be a little more efficient and a little more effective tonight against the River Bandits. Now let's get to the lineup for those Quad Cities River Bandits, the high A affiliate of the Kansas City Royals. They, of course, are managed by Jesus Aswahe and lead the Midwest League West Division in the second half at 8-4. They are 47-31 overall this season. Leading off for the Bandits, it is their left fielder Eric Torres. Daniel Vasquez bats second and plays short. And batting third at second base, it's Sam Coolisingham. Callan Moss bats fourth. He's over at first. Carson Rockeford bats fifth and plays center. Brian Gonzalez will bat sixth and serve as the DH, while Darlene Figueroa bats seventh and plays third. Carter Fredrickson right batting eighth. Kenyon Brown hits ninth and does the catching. And on the mound, it's the Royals' number 14 prospect, the 22-year-old right-hander from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Drew Beam. He is 4-6 with a 2.95 ERA this year, a 1.10 whip, and a 2.39 opponent's batting average. Last week, he made a start against Wisconsin, took a no decision, but went five innings and gave up just one run with five strikeouts and no walks. It's time to close down the July 4th edition of tonight's pregame show. We'll pause for the national anthem, and when we come back, we've got Independence Day Baseball live on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stand, remove your hats, and join Cedar Memorial and the Colonels as we sing our national anthem.
And now join us as we honor America with our national anthem, which is being performed for us tonight by Marsha Hughes.
Oh, say can you see
dream.
River Bandits baseball is back on the air. Good Friday evening, everybody, and for the first time this season, welcome to Veterans Memorial Stadium here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, where the Quad Cities River Bandits start a fresh three-game weekend series against the Colonels, the High A affiliate of the Minnesota Twins. First and foremost, welcome in Kyle Kercheville, thrilled to be joined by you on this Independence Day. Wherever you're listening from, thank you so much for being here, and we hope your celebration is off to a terrific start. As you might expect, a big crowd on hand at the Vet today as the Bandits travel just about an hour west to Veterans Memorial Stadium to take on these Colonels. Temperatures, again, warm, officially 87 degrees with a 13-mile-per-hour wind blowing out to center, but it's doing very little to cool things off. It's rather humid, and the sun is beaming down on especially the folks down the first baseline, but definitely on the playing surface as well. The Cedar Rapids Colonels are celebrating the occasion with some patriotic specialty jerseys, as Quad Cities did last night. They are navy with white pinstripes, Colonels in red, white, and blue across the chest, and then a red, white, and blue number outlined in white on the back. Quad Cities is wearing the road grays, which they've worn for every away game this season. Cole Peschel is the starter for the Colonels today, making his first career appearance against the River Bandits in his seventh career High A start. He will be countered by Eric Torres, Daniel Vasquez, and Sam Kulasingham, a familiar three faces that get the order started for Jesus Asuaje. Peschel, a right-hander, ready to go. Torres is in the box. Right on right. First pitch of the ball game is on the way and grounded over to second. DeBarge to his left. Fields in shallow right. Throws sidearm to first. And with one pitch, Torres is retired on the 4-3 ground out. First pitch officially coming in at 6:36 Central Time. And again, first pitch temperature 87 degrees with mostly sunny skies. So one out, and now the shortstop Daniel Vasquez up to the plate, the Royals number 27 prospect per MLB pipeline. Peschel delivers, and it's a strike on the outer edge, 0-1. We've got the same umpiring crew for the final three games of this week's matchups as we had in Davenport the previous three nights. 0-1 to Vasquez. Is a ground ball down the first baseline, knocked down by Amick. He recovers, picks it up, and tags his own bag for a three unassisted in the second out here in the first inning. Glenn Meyerhofer is calling balls and strikes. Austin Matchick is patrolling the base paths. They're both donning the powder blue threads for Independence Day. Now, speaking of Independence Day and just patriotism in general, here is the former Air Force Falcon, Sam Kulasingham, the switch-hitting second baseman. He went 3-for-6 in the first three games against the Colonels this week. Switch hitter bats left-handed and takes the first pitch breaking ball down and in, 1-0. Peschel, 22 years old. He was the Twins' 15th round pick last year out of Campbell University, which is over in Buies Creek, North Carolina. The 1-0 on the way. It's tipped off the glove of Ruiz for strike one. Collegiately, he began his career at the University of Charleston and then went to Campbell for his final college season in 2024. He posted a 5.48 ERA and 13 starts as a Fighting Camel. 1-1. Kulasingham taps it foul, and it's 1-2. Defensively for the Colonels, left to right in the outfield, it's Urbina, Kendall, and Connell. DeAndrade is at third with Whitaker at short, DeBarge at second, Amick at first, and Pancho Ruiz does the catching. Two outs, no one on in the top of the first. Here comes the 1-2 pitch to Kulasingham. It's in the dirt, ball two. Well, Sam got the Bandits on the board yesterday. A one-out RBI single to score Eric Torres in the bottom of the first. It'd be his only hit of the game. He went 1-for-3 with that single and a walk. Peschel ready for the 2-2. The right-hander delivers. And it's again in the dirt. Kulasingham lays off as the count runs full. Sam is hitting .285 this year. He is the second best hitter in the Midwest League since June 1st, trailing only Daniel Vasquez. Callan Moss, the Bandits cleanup man, hopeful on deck. Payoff pitch coming into Kulasinga. It's lined over to third and past the diving glove of De Andrade into left field. Fourth hit of the week for Sam Kulasingham. He's got a two-out single to extend the inning for Callan Moss. Really good opposite field cut. Looks like Peschel went fastball around the high outside corner. And expertly, Kulasingham slapped it the other way. Right past De Andrade. So here's High A's RBI leader, Callan Moss. First pitch, he hits one on the ground sharply and past the diving Whitaker. That's into left center field. Kulasingham stops at second, and it's back-to-back two-out singles for the River Bandits. That was not a bad pitch from Peschel. Right at the knees. But Moss able to get the barrel on it and hit it sharply. Past the really long shortstop, Brandon Whitaker. He is 6'6". But not even that small forward-esque frame was able to get to that. So, the inning extended once again. And this time, for one of the two left-handed hitters in the Bandits order, center fielder Carson Rockefert. Peschel out of the stretch, the pitch. Called strike on the outside edge. Peschel features a four-pitch mix, a four-seam fastball which sits 89 to 93 miles per hour, a short cutter, a rather vertical slider, and then a changeup, which he'll probably use a couple of times against Rockefert here. The 0-1. Called strike, low outside corner. A bit of a late call from Glenn Meyerhofer. Rockefert looked back quickly, almost as if he was surprised to hear the call come in. Now, the River Bandits have received back-to-back two-out singles from Sam Kulasingham and Callan Moss. Carson Rockefert looking to add to his RBI total on the week, which is already at 4. 0-2. Wave and a miss. Got him on one of those changeups to end the inning. So two stranded for the Bandits in the top of the first, but they do get some early traffic against Cole Peschel. Drew Beam jogs out to the hill for the River Bandits. He'll pitch the bottom of the first. We're scoreless through a half inning on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Hi, this is CeCe Sabathia. Join me in Upstate New York Hall of Fame weekend in Cooperstown and enjoy unforgettable experiences full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 25th through July 28th to welcome the entire Baseball Hall of Fame class of 2025. Visit baseballhall.org today for the full schedule. Look forward to seeing you in Cooperstown.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits, it's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Bottom of the first inning at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Drew Beam ready to make his Veterans Memorial Stadium debut. Quad City's 22-year-old right-hander from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. He was the Royals' third-round pick back in 2024 out of the University of Tennessee. He will get the start against Kyle DeBarge, Billy Amick, and Danny DeAndrade, at least as the first inning goes. All three top 30 prospects in the Twins system. First pitch on the way to DeBarge. It's on the ground sharply, but just foul outside the bag down the third base line. Beam has been one of the best pitchers in the Midwest League this year. Somehow, he has a 4-6 record, but his ERA is 2.95. He has a 110 whip and a 239 opponent's batting average. All three of those marks, top 10 in the Midwest League. Last week, Beam gave up just one run in a five-inning start against the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers up in Appleton. Five strikeouts, no walks, but a no decision. DeBarge had to get a new bat. He broke the first stick he used tonight. Now the 0-1 is pulled on the ground again to third, but scooped up by Figueroa. Throw to first in plenty of time. Nice snag at the hot corner by Figgy.
First baseman number 11,
Billy. DeBarge retired as Billy Amick steps up. We'll set the Bandits defense for you. Carson Rockefert's in his usual center field. He's flanked by Torres in left, Frederick in right field. Figueroa's at third, Vasquez at short, Kula Singham at second, Moss at first, and Canyon Brown handles the catching duties. He's behind the plate for the 42nd time this season. Right on right, one out, nobody on. First pitch to Amick is a big breaking ball that drops in for strike one. That's the curveball from Beam. He also throws both a four-seam and a two-seam fastball, a cutter, and a changeup. 0-1 to Amick. Billy takes another curveball, but this time it's high for ball one. 31st game for Billy this season. As a Colonel, he bats 315 with one homer and 18 driven in. That home run hit earlier this week at Modern Woodman Park. The 1-1 is on the way. Another curveball, and this time a swing and a miss from Amick. 1-2. Billy is the Twins' number 14 prospect per MLB Pipeline. He was the club's second-round pick last year out of Tennessee, where he was teammates with Drew Beam. 1-2, headed home. It's in the dirt. Two balls, two strikes. Up between Amick, Jared Dickey, and others, Beam has had an opportunity to go up against several former teammates of his. Beam and A.J. Kazi winning the 2024 College World Series as Volunteers. Now the 2-2 to Amick. Billy swings and tips it into the glove of Brown for strike three. Drew Beam bests his old Vols teammate. Amick is down for out number two. Some bragging rights secured for Beamer as number 11 turns his attention to Danny De Andrade, a native of Valencia, Venezuela, 2-for-10 in the three games against the Bandits earlier this week. He has a closed stance in the right-handed box. First pitch is rifled foul over the first base side for strike one. De Andrade is hitting 241 this year. He leads the Colonels with 17 doubles and 6 triples. He's also got 8 home runs. The 0-1 pitch. That's again fouled over the first base side. No balls and 2 strikes on De Andrade. That 2-for-10 featuring just a pair of singles. The Bandits have kept De Andrade in check to start the week. Beam's got him against the ropes here with the 0-2 count. The pitch. Wave and a miss. Strike three. Boy, De Andrade chased way high and outside. Drew Beam with a couple of strikeouts and a smooth bottom of the first. Let's go to the second. There's no score on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com. Need some River Bandits merchandise? Rascal's Den is the place to go. Located just inside Modern Woodman Park, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store behind Section 7 or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com. Quad Cities is back to the plate for the start of the second inning here in Cedar Rapids. Kyle Kercheval, really excited to have you tuned in on your Independence Day. The Bandits with Brian Gonzalez, Sterling Figueroa, and Carter Frederick all set to face Cole Peschel. He gave up a couple of two-out singles in the top of the first, but ultimately worked around him. Gonzalez is the Bandits' DH today. Normally you'll find him at first base or one of the corner outfield spots. First pitch. Gonzo takes a strike on the outside edge. He did not play in the game yesterday. Last we saw Gonzalez was Wednesday. He hit cleanup and went 1-for-4 with a single. He is batting .239 this year. Peschel's 0-1. Wave and a miss. Strike two on the cutter. 89 miles per hour. Gonzalez is 23 years old from Villa Maya in the Dominican Republic. A Royals minor league Rule 5 pick last year. Opened up his professional career with several years in the Boston Red Sox farm system, the team he originally signed with. 0-2 pitch. Down and away on that big breaking ball. Gonzalez is 3-for-8 this week against the Colonels. Had a couple of doubles and an RBI in the game Tuesday. Here's the 1-2. Called, no. Wow, that's just outside. Ball two. Wow, that looked pretty good. Myself, Peschel, and Ruiz all thought it should have been strike three, as does that first base dugout that's asking Glenn Meyerhofer just exactly where it missed. We move on, though. The 2-2. Wave and a miss. Strike three. Well, Peschel got the strikeout anyways, and it's a couple of swinging Ks gathered by the right-hander.
Third baseman number two, Darlene Figueroa.
So that brings up the third baseman, Darlene Figueroa, who made a nice play defensively in the bottom of the first. After a really strong start to his high-A career last week in Wisconsin, he's just 1-for-12 this week. First pitch, he squares to bunt, pulls back, and takes inside on a slider. Figueroa, 21 years old. He opened the season with Columbia. Tonight marks his 10th game as a River Bandit. The 1-0 pitch. On the ground to the left side. The shortstop, Winiger, to his right. Fields, jump throw to first, and a good stretch by Amick to get Figueroa. Two solid efforts by Cedar Rapids infield. First, the shortstop, Winiger, having to range a long ways to his right. He wound up basically halfway between second and third base and nearly on the left field grass. He made a strong jump throw to first that was a little bit up the line, but Billy Amick helps him out. So a strikeout and a ground out to start the inning for Peschel. He now goes right on right against Carter Frederick. First pitch is ripped into center field for a base hit. Talk about barreling up a baseball. That was the whacked over towards Kendall. All three hits the Bandits have to start the night have come with two outs. And two of those three hits have come on the first pitch of an at-bat. So Frederick's got his second hit of the series, his 46th of the year. And this time the inning is extended for Canyon Brown, Quad City's catcher. Here's a pickoff throw to first. Frederick dives back safely. Carter has been really good at running the bases this year, at least in terms of steals. He's swiped 11 bags in a dozen total tries. The pitch. He breaks for second, and this one is lined into center field for a base hit. With the head start, Frederick goes first to third. Now he gets a late stop sign. He took a big turn towards home. And safe at first is Canyon Brown. Another sharply hit baseball back up the middle, and it was nearly caught by the second baseman, DeBarge. He was racing over to the bag to cover on Frederick stealing, and Brown hit the ball 4 or 5 feet behind him. He tried to slam on the brakes and reach back, but it was in vain. 4 2-out singles for Quad Cities in the first trip through the order. Now back to the top of the card, Eric Torres will try to take advantage with the score still 0-0. Men at the corners. First pitch. Torres swings and hits it on the ground right to the third baseman, De Andrade. He shuffles the feet, fires to first, and ends the inning. So the Bandits continue to get some two-out traffic against Cole Peschel, but they've yet to deliver their first run of the game. We go to the bottom of the second. No score on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Hey fans, catch the excitement of minor league baseball with the Bally Sports Live app. Watch your favorite team or scout the top prospects every game live all season long.
Strike three, you're out.
Plus, stream the Savannah Bananas and emerging fight sports to keep the action going. Best of all, it's totally free. No credit card required. Download the Bally Sports Live app today on your phone or connected device.
The road to royalty runs through the Quad Cities, and whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, stay in the know all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following on X and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag road to royalty. Quad Cities had six hits in their win yesterday. They've already got four hits through the first two innings tonight, but Cole Peschel has been able to strand all four two-out singles. So that means Drew Beam is back to work in a scoreless game. Cedar Rapids to the plate in the bottom of the second with the middle third of its lineup due up in Pancho Ruiz, Brandon Whitaker, and Misael Urbina. Beam had a couple of strikeouts in the first. Right on right against Ruiz. His first offering is a fastball on the inner half for strike one. Ruiz went 2-for-7 in the first three games of this week-long stretch of contests. 0-1 pitch. Chopper back up the middle, and it's going to get by Vasquez into the outfield. Leadoff single for Pancho Ruiz, who tonight is getting a rare start in the middle of the lineup. Usually he's somebody that's in the bottom third of the card, but Brian Meyer elevating him up today, and he's already starting to prove why he belongs there more often. That's the first base hit allowed by Beam tonight, as the right-hander will look for a ground ball off the bat of Brandon Whitaker, the Colonel shortstop and the Twins' number 7 prospect. First pitch. Brandon swings and fouls off a first pitch curveball. Whitaker's had a slow stretch. He is just 6-for-47 at the plate. He was 2-for-11 from Monday to Wednesday at Modern Woodman Park with two walks. Beam out of the stretch. He picks over to first, and back safely is Ruiz. Whitaker put up some really good numbers with single-A Fort Myers last year in his first taste of pro ball. As a Colonel this year, he's played in 75 games, but he's only hitting a few ticks over the Mendoza line. He'll ask for time and reset. Throughout this week, we've seen him play everywhere. Today, at short, but we've also seen him play center field and third base. Double play depth for the Bandits infield as Beam sets chest high. His 0-1. Whitaker takes outside on a cutter. 1-1. Drew Beam listed at 6'4", 210 pounds. Third round pick out of Tennessee. He has been not only effective this year, but he has eaten up a ton of innings. Next pitch, sails outside. The curveball was away, 2-1. Entering action tonight, Beam had completed 76 and a third innings across 15 starts. That mark is top three in the Midwest League. Really impressive for a guy in his first year of pro ball. 2-1 is on the ground, but through the left side, right between Figge and Vasquez. Ruiz up to second base. Whittaker with his second hit in the last 2 days. Gets a seeing eye single and brings up Misael Urbina with 2-1. But this theme of eating up innings is not exclusive to Drew Beam. The Bandits starting staff as a whole has pitched more innings than any other high A team, plus any single A and double A team. Just a couple triple A teams with more. First pitch to Urbina. Breaking ball taken for a strike. Of the top 10 pitchers in the Midwest League, in terms of total innings pitched, Quad Cities has four members of its starting rotation in there. The 0-1. Called strike in the low outside corner. Nothing and two. Felix Aronde is now second in the league with 77 in the third innings pitch, trailing Lansing's Grant Judkins by only a frame. Beam trails Aronde by a frame, and then Hunter Patterson, who was the league's ERA and innings leader, is now in double A. He's still fourth. 0-2 pitch. Outside, great backhanded pick by Brown. Both runners hold up. That one had wild pitch written all over it, but Canyon got in the way. And then tied for seventh, Logan Martin at 67 in a third innings pitched. It's really impressive what this staff has done this year. Not to mention all four of those names are top 10 in the league in average and whip. The pitch just outside with a curveball. That one close. 2-2. Well, Urbina, a guy who's been on the Colonels for the last 3 years, he's got some familiarity with playing the Bandits on July 4th. Up at the plate with two on and no one out. 2-2 is low and the count runs full. Now Drew Beam now in danger of issuing his first walk in nearly a month. Last time he walked somebody was June 11th against the Beloit Sky Carp. That was 17 innings ago. 3-2 pitch. Urbina rips it down the left field line. It's fair and will go to the wall. Ruiz scores. Whitaker's getting the wave around third. Torres's throw is cut off, and it's a two-run double for Misael Urbina. A Colonels veteran has put Cedar Rapids in front 2-0 in the second. Beam avoids the walk, but instead surrenders his third consecutive hit to open up the second inning.
Designated hitter number 18, Andy Lugo.
That's the third hit of the week for Urbina and his second double. As here's Andy Lugo, the Colonels' DH, also batting from the right side. The pitch. Called strike on the inner half on a good cutter. 0-1. Now Lugo has had a bit of a rough week defensively. At the plate, he's 1-for-6, but that hit a triple. He's also got an RBI. One of the latest trade acquisitions by the Twins Orc. 0-1 is high, 1-1. We talked about it a lot last week. He was traded from Boston over to Minnesota about a month ago. And last year, he was teammates with Brian Gonzalez at High A Greenville. The 1-1. High and tight at 95. 2-1. Lugo opened up this season with Greenville again. Hit 265 in 44 games with four homers. As a Colonel, now 16 games played, he has a 269 average with one homer. The 2-1 from Beam. Wave and a miss. He took a huge hack at a two-seam fastball, but came up empty. It's 2-2. Colonels have a 2-0 lead in the bottom of the second. Back-to-back singles open the inning for Ruiz and Whitaker, and then Misael Urbina with a two-run double. He's still at second base. 2-2 pitch. Wave and a miss. Down on strikes goes Lugo. Beam got him with an 86-mile-per-hour breaker. So a much-needed first out for Drew Beam. He picks it up via his third strikeout of the night. And before Caden Kendall will hit, Canyon Brown, Quad City's catcher, wants a word with his hurler. Now the sun at Veterans Memorial Stadium will set basically behind home plate. So the shadows will stretch from the seating bowl out towards center. At this stage of the night, home plate and both batter's boxes are shaded. But the sun starts up right in front of the dish once again. So still 90% of the field is in the sun. And things get a little tricky for the outfield as it continues to stretch behind the ballpark. Ready to resume. Beam's pitch to Kendall is ripped into center field, and it nearly hit Urbina. He avoids the baseball and now stops at third as Kendall gets up the first. Ball came in and got away from Brown, but Beam backed it up, and both runners hold. Now the throw in from center went off the mound and awkwardly ricocheted towards first. Caden Kendall has had himself a terrific week. He is now 5-for-13, and the Colonels are starting to put together quite a second inning rally. They have brought five hitters to the plate in this frame, and four have hits. So with Urbina at third and Kendall at first, it's men at the corners with one out for the right fielder, Justin Connell, who is making his series debut. A right-handed hitter way back in the box. First pitch, high and away, ball one. O'Connell was actually born in Spain, but grew up here in the States. He lists his hometown as Plantation, Florida. The 1-0. High and tight and off the glove of Brown to the backstop. Urbina's going to score from third without a throw, and Kendall advances to second. That gives the Colonels a 3-0 lead. That was a curveball that never broke. Brown was hoping for it down and away, and it wound up well high and inside. Brown couldn't quite get to it, and Beam registers his third wild pitch of the season, and unfortunately, it costs him his third run tonight. So now just one man at second with one out. The 2-0 to Connell is a curveball this time that finds the zone for a called strike one. Connell didn't like the call, though. Well, this is Justin's second professional team. He was originally an 11th-round draft pick by the Washington Nationals back in 2017 out of high school. The pitch. Hanging breaking ball is hit well. Back towards left. Torres at the track. He leaps at the wall, and it gets out of here. Two-run blast for Justin Connell, his first as a member of the Twins organization. It's now a 4-0 lead for the Colonels. Make that a 5-0 lead for the Colonels here in the second. And that's going to send Derek Lewis down to the third base dugout. These five earned runs, match a season high for Beam. It's a mark that he's now hit three times throughout this summer. First time it happened was in his first career start, pitching in game two of the season opening doubleheader in Peoria. And the last time he did it was in a four-inning outing against Dayton back on May 17th. So the lineup card turns over. We're still in the bottom of the second. Colonels up 5-0, and Kyle DeBarge gets his second AB of the night. First pitch. That's rocketed into left center. Another base hit for the Colonels. third straight and the sixth in seven second-inning batters for Cedar Rapids. All of these hits are popped with some gusto. There have been no bloop singles. Whitaker's, I guess, was a bit of a seeing eye single, but vast majority of these cuts have produced great contact. Now a man on for Amick. First pitch, he takes a mighty cut, but comes up empty. Amick was a beam strikeout victim in the first. Now 4 for 14 this week with a home run, a double, and three driven in. Beam's 0-1. Outside, one ball, one strike. Colonels with five runs on six hits, and all of that happening here in the second inning. DeBarge is the league's leading base stealer over at first. Not going on the 1-1. Now he will. The ball gets away from Brown and back to the screen. It'll be the second wild pitch of the inning, charged to Beamer. And another Colonel gets into scoring position. And in this circumstance, Quad Cities has now lost its inning-ending double play possibility, at least in terms of conventional thinking. Bandits are starting to activate the bullpen. Right-hander Nicholas Regalado is starting to play catch as Beam is struggling in this second. The 2-1. On the ground, a third, picked up to the left of Figueroa. Third baseman throws cross diamond for the out, and DeBarge stays at second. There are two gone.
Third baseman, Danny D'Andrade.
The only man who's not hit in this inning for the Colonels is Danny D'Andrade, and he strides towards the right-handed box now. D'Andrade is in the midst of a 13-game on-base streak, which is the longest active mark of any Cedar Rapids Colonel. First pitch. Called strike on the outer edge, 0-1. Well, you may remember a couple of days ago in the Bandits' loss on Wednesday, Canyon Brown was tagged for three catcher's interferences as Colonel's bats hit his glove on three different swings. 0-1, a ground ball to second. Kula Singham's got it. He'll throw to first and end the inning. We'll finish that thought later, but now we move to the third. Cedar Rapids puts up a nickel in the bottom of the second and leads 5-0.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits, it's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play. There's no better way to watch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Woodman Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Bringing nine batters to the plate in their half of the second, the Colonels have not only tagged Drew Beam for a season-high matching run total, but they lead Quad Cities 5-0 on this Friday night Independence Day matchup. Bandits with some work to do at the plate. Daniel Vasquez steps back up against Cole Peschel, the Colonels' starter. Right on right, first pitch fastball is a strike on the low inside corner. It's Vasquez, Kula Singham, and Moss. The the 2, 3, and 4 hitters in Jesus Suarez's lineup. The 0-1 from Peschel. Taken outside. 1-1. Through his first 2 innings, Peschel has allowed 4 hits. All of them 2-out singles, but he's not walked anybody. He has 2 strikeouts, and he's yet to allow a run. The 1-1 is down and away. 2-1 on Vasquez. I mentioned he is the Midwest League's leading hitter since the start of June. His average on the season has been lifted all the way to 277, and he has a 746 OPS. The 2-1. Breaking ball up and in. 3-1 on Vasquez. Catcher Ruiz thought that should have been strike two. With a ground out in the first, Vasquez is 4-for-12 in this week of games with a double and a couple of RBIs. The 3-1 from Peschel. It's a soft ground ball back past Peschel. The second baseman, DeBarge, fields near second, throws to first, and retires Vasquez for the out. That was right off the hands of Vasquez. There was a ton of side spin on it as it ricocheted off the back side of the hill. Peschel was dancing out of the way as it hit the dirt and then rolled towards second. DeBarge, with good speed, able to get to it and get the out. So one away and nobody aboard for Sam Coolisingham, who picked up the first of the 4 2-out Bandit singles in the first inning. He swings at the first time here and bounces it off of Amick into shallow right. DeBarge picks it up, desperately throws to first, but Coolisingham's going to beat out the throw. That's going to be an E3 on Amick, who had it go right between his legs, even though there was some ball-on-glove contact. That was off the side of the leather and may have caught a piece of Amick's foot. He's stretching out his right leg as he gets ready to hold on Coolisingham. So sure enough, it's an E3 as Peschel faces Callan Moss for the second time. Right on right, the pitch. One hopper over to short, snagged by Whitaker to second for one. DeBarge's throw to first is in time. Just like that, the inning is over. Now, Cole Peschel's had to deal with at least one base runner in each of the first 3 innings, but Quad Cities helps bail him out of the third on the twin killing. We go to the bottom of the third inning. 5-0 Colonels on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that'll bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your visit today at baseballhall.org.
The road to royalty runs through the Quad Cities, and whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, stay in the know all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following on X and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Road to Royalty. Colonels have a 5-0 lead as they step to the plate in the bottom of the third. Drew Beam will retake his spot on the mound after giving up those 5 runs and facing 9 Colonels hitters in the second. Pancho Ruiz leads off. First pitch. It's popped up and it'll get out of play, foul over the first base side. Colonels have the 4, 5, and 6 hitters due up, the same trio that started the second inning rally. Ruiz singled to begin the second. Picked up his third hit of the week. 0-1 curveball drops right down the middle for strike two. Poncho, playing in his 22nd game this year, is the owner of a 266 average and a 735 OPS. He's got seven doubles, but still looking for his first home run. He has driven in nine. Beam going for his fourth strikeout of the game. Toes facing the plate as he begins his windup. Now he turns and delivers. Got him looking. Strike three in the high outside corner. That's a well-positioned 94-mile-per-hour fastball.
Shortstop, Brandon Whitaker.
So Ruiz fails to pull the trigger, and that's a much better start to the inning for Drew. Twins number seven prospect, Brandon Whitaker, back to the plate. He singled through the left side of the infield a frame ago. First pitch. It's a strike on the low outside corner. Fans down in the seating bowl, mostly shaded to this point. There are still a couple of sections down the first baseline that remain in the sun. But even those in the shade have found some fans of sort. Basically a white piece of cardboard taped to a popsicle stick, and they're frantically trying to cool themselves off. The 0-1. There's a strike in the low outside corner. It's 0-2. I'd be lying if I didn't say I'm basically doing the same thing up here, just with a stat pack and a lineup sheet. Probably not quite as effective. 0-2 is punched to the right side. Another base hit for Brandon Whitaker. He is 2-for-2 to start the ball game. He's got as many hits in the first three innings today as he had in the first three games against Quad Cities this week. Seventh hit allowed by Drew Beam. His season high is 9. Pitch count for him is only at 45. He's thrown 32 strikes in there. As Misael Urbina is up for the second time. He had one of the big blows in the last inning. Pickoff throw to first. Whitaker dives back. Urbina got the Colonels into the run column with a two-run double down the left field line. That recorded his 10th double and RBIs number 20 and 21 on the year for him. The pitch. Down and away on a curveball. The wind is still blowing out towards left center field. Justin Connell may have used a bit of it to help hit that home run in the second. 1-0. An early swing from Urbina as he fouls it back to the screen. And it's 1-1. For Urbina, tonight's game marks his 251st as a Cedar Rapids Colonel. He has spent the vast majority of his pro career here in Eastern Iowa. 1-1 is high. Back pick to first. The tag won't quite get Whitaker. Good job from Moss to slap down the glove, but it was a bit late. Quad City's catchers this year have two catcher pickoffs. One for Canyon Brown, one for Omar Hernandez, who of course is now in Double-A Northwest Arkansas. The 2-1. Low on the curveball. 3-1. But the two successful pickoffs most certainly does not illustrate how often, especially Canyon Brown, has tried to do that this year, always keeping guys on their toes. 3-1. Whitaker breaks for second, and the pitch is inside for 4. So Whitaker slides into second base anyways, but got there automatically as Urbina draws a walk, and Drew Beam issues his first free pass in almost a month. ...18 1/3 innings for Drew Beam, where he did not allow a walk. That streak snapped here as Andy Lugo is again in from the right side. He struck out as the first out in the second inning. Beam delivers. It's popped up and off the sweets behind home for strike one. Runners at first and third, rather first and second for the Cedar Rapids Colonels. We are in the third. The 0-1 pitch. cut on and missed. Chasing in the dirt was Lugo, and Beam is ahead 0-2. He's done a good job throwing strikes today, as evidenced by the numbers I gave you not long ago. He's got four strikeouts, but guys have been barreling him up. 0-2. Down and away. A ball and two strikes on Andy Lugo from San Cristobal in the Dominican Republic. High navy blue socks to go with the Independence Day getup. 1-2. Breaking ball left up, but whacked foul into the Bandits' bullpen, which is now inactive. As Beam was struggling his way through the second, Nicholas Regalado was starting to toss, but he has since sat down. Just a couple of small little clouds over right and left field here at Cedar Rapids. It was a gorgeous Friday evening. 1-2, that's hit high in the air, but to shallow center. Long run in for Carson Rockefort, who eventually calls off Kula Singham and makes the catch for out number two. Looks like there could be some rain tomorrow and on Sunday, but really cool that us in Davenport yesterday and the Colonels tonight are getting some beautiful weather for their respective Independence Day celebrations. Yesterday, just over 6,400 fans came to Modern Woodman Park for one of the biggest days of the year. Stayed late for Red, White, and Boom fireworks. Here's Caden Kendall. He'll take low. It was just a 2-hour and 14-minute game yesterday. Again, that was a Quad Cities win 4-3. So not only did they have something to cheer about on the scoreboard, but lots of fun sing-along and dance stuff before the fireworks. 1-0 is lined to left center field. It's going to drop in the alley for a hit. Whittaker will score from second. Urbina's up to third. Rockefort throws to the cutoff man, and Kendall dives into second with an RBI double. Colonels now with a 6-0 lead. It's officially a career high in runs allowed for the Royals' third-round pick. Caden Kendall continues to dominate River Bandits pitching. 2-for-2 today and now 6-for-14 in the series. Runners at second and third with two outs for the nine-hole hitter Connell, who homered a frame ago. First pitch. Huge hack. Empty for strike one. Yesterday it was the Bandits giving their home crowd something to cheer about early. All four of their runs were scored in the first three innings. They got out to a 4-0 lead and never looked back. Colonels would make it a one-run game, but over the course of the next seven frames. And, of course, Quad Cities would hold on. Now it's Cedar Rapids jumping to the early advantage. 0-1. Fastball right down the middle at 94. 0-2 on Connell. I mentioned he started his pro career as a member of the Nationals organization, drafted out of high school in 2017. He was with them until 2023. Last year, he was released. He played some indie ball. And now he's a member of the Twin system. 0-2, whiff, and a miss. Strike three. A little redundant, but an effective pitch from Drew Beam as he strikes out Connell to end the inning. Another run in, though, for the Cedar Rapids Colonels. Caden Kendall with an RBI double to make it 6-0 Cedar Rapids. We're off to the fourth on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Summer is here, and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Need some River Bandits merchandise? Rascal's Den is the place to go. Located just inside Modern Woodman Park, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store behind Section 7 or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com. top of the fourth at Veterans Memorial Stadium. The Cedar Rapids Colonels have extended their lead over the Bandits. It's 6-0. RBI double from Caden Kendall, the latest blow. Carson Rockefert leads off the fourth, still facing Cole Peschel. First pitch, that's crushed. Deep to left field, Urbina looks up, and it is out of here. Number 10 on the season for Carson Rockefert. An Oppo Taco shot to get the River Bandits on the board. Boy, oh boy, this guy is on one right now. Another home run for Carson Rockefert, and it's 6-1 Colonels in the fourth.
Number 31, Ron Gonzalez.
Rockefert with now 5 home runs in his last 13 games. As here's Brian Gonzalez right on right against Peschel. First pitch. Called strike in the low inside corner. Well, this is a great development for Rockefert, who in his career has been an extremely pole-heavy hitter, but over the last couple of weeks, he's really started to open up the opposite field. 0-1 is cut on and missed. No balls and 2 strikes on Gonzalez, who struck out swinging back in the second. We've seen some doubles, and now a home run for Rockefert to the opposite field. Gonzalez has homered 3 times this year. He had 20 last season with High A Greenville. 0-2. Down and away. 1-2. That home run marks the 3rd allowed by Peschel this year. Hasn't given up more than 1 in any start this season. The 1-2. Chopper over to short. It's cut off by the third baseman, De Andrade, on the move. He throws low to first, but Amick makes the catch, keeping it above the dirt. Gonzalez grounds out, and there's one down. Good rebound by Peschel, as now he faces the third baseman, Darlene Figueroa. They've got the junior broadcaster announcing the lineup for Quad Cities in this inning. Darlene Figueroa is probably not an easy one for what looks like an 11 or 12-year-old kid to say. First pitch. Wave and a miss. Strike 1. Hard enough for me to say, as if I'm any expert. Figueroa grounded out to short back in the second inning. The pitch from Peschel. That's punched foul. As you might imagine, his nickname, Figgy, is much more widely used in the clubhouse than Darlene or Figueroa. Much easier to say. 0-2 coming home. Figgy takes outside on a breaking ball. It's 1-2. He's now 1-for-13 this week. His average at .219 as a Bandit. 0-2. That's fouled off his foot. And we'll do it again. Still no more activity in the River Bandits bullpen since Regalado was throwing an inning ago. Drew Beam has pitched 3 frames. He's at 60 total pitches, but he's given up a career-high 6 runs. 0-2. Back up the middle. It almost hits Peschel, but it's into center for a one-out knock. Darlene Figueroa gets aboard. Nearly taking out the pitcher. You could hear the reaction of the crowd as that one was lined up the middle. It was off the hands a little bit, not crushed, but it was right around the coconut of the right-hander who leaned out of the way. Carter Frederick ripped the single back up the middle in the second. First pitch to him here is popped up on the first base side over by the Colonel's bullpen. Long run for Connell and DeBarge. Neither will get to it as DeBarge jumps up onto the bench to avoid crashing into the bullpen. It'll be an interesting strike one, at least an entertaining strike one. The confines at Veterans Memorial Stadium, if you're not familiar with them, feature very little foul territory, especially once you get towards the intermediate outfield. the first baseline in particular. Very narrow. Pickoff throw to first. Figueroa dives back. Like so many of the ballparks in the Midwest League, the bullpens at Veterans Memorial Stadium are just off in foul ground behind the dugouts. 0-1. Line drive. That's into left field. Another base hit for Frederick. Figueroa pauses at second base. Throw came in from Urbina in left. And Carter Frederick is 2-for-2 to start the night. Bandits now with 3 hits in the fourth inning. They're starting to get things going. Second time through the order.
Number 7,
Carter Frederick officially with his 11th multi-hit game of the season as Brown, who singled back in the second, gets comfortable in the box. Canyon now has reached safely in 11 straight ball games, longest stretch of his career. First pitch, he takes a slider inside. But back to the bullpens. The one the Bandits utilize down the third baseline is probably, 20 or 30 feet from the left field line. It's close, but not super close. Pretty similar to Modern Woodman Park. 1-0. That's low. 2 balls, no strikes. Now, as far as the first base side goes, the Colonel's bullpen is right on top of fair territory. It takes you about 2 steps to get from the bullpen mound into shallow right field. And as a result, the bench for the bullpen that all the relievers are sitting on is no more than 10 or 15 feet away from fair ground. So oftentimes, those guys are getting peppered with foul balls. And just like we saw a couple of pitches ago, there are oftentimes plays in that area that require defenders to navigate around the mound, the water cooler, the benches, all the equipment. It can get a little interesting over there. Here comes the 2-0 pitch to Brown. Bouncing ball towards short. Whitaker's got it to second for one. DeBarge to first. Won't get him. Brown hustling down the line. Helps Quad Cities avoid an inning-ending double play. Would have been the second straight inning where that occurred. Instead, Frederick is retired 6-4, and Brown is safe on a fielder's choice, with, most importantly, Figueroa at third. Quad Cities trails 6-1 here in the top of the fourth. They just got in the run column courtesy of Carson Rockefert, who hit an opposite field home run to start the inning. Another opportunity here, this time for Eric Torres. Men at the corners, 2 outs. Torres has hit a couple of ground balls to start the game. First pitch. It's a strike on the inner half. Quad Cities has been really good with runners in scoring position this week. In their first 3 games against the Colonels, Quad Cities is 12-for-33 with men in scoring position. That's an average of 363. 0-1. Torres swings and hits it to shallow right. Connell sprinting over, and the second baseman DeBarge will make the catch and put an end to the fourth inning rally. Quad Cities, though, in the run column despite stranding their 5th and 6th base runners of the game. Carson Rockefert with blast number 10 to trim the Colonels' lead to 6-1.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
The road to royalty runs through the Quad Cities, and whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, stay in the know all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following on X and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag road to royalty. Cities is on the board. Carson Rockefort providing some early fireworks tonight. An opposite field solo shot to cut Cedar Rapids' lead to 6-1. Drew Beams back for the bottom of the fourth, pitching to Kyle DeBarge. He starts the at-bat down 1-0 with a pitch inside. DeBarge is the Colonels' leadoff man. He's followed by Amick and De Andrade, the 1-0. Breaking ball, a called strike on the high inside corner, 1-1. Nicholas Regalado has resumed throwing in the bullpen as Beam is now north of 60 pitches through three-plus innings. The 2-0. Another breaking ball, this time lined to center and down in front of Rockefort for a base hit. Kyle DeBarge with his sixth hit of the week and his second today is going to give the Colonels some more early traffic against Drew Beam. That is Cedar Rapids' ninth hit against the Bandit starter. They have now tagged him for a season high in runs and now matched Beam's season high in hits allowed. One of the couple of Colonels without a hit is Billy Amick, 0 for 2 with a strikeout and a ground ball. At the plate here, he takes the first pitch in the dirt for ball one. Now before the end of the third inning, I'm starting to talk about the catcher's interference calls that were charged to Canyon Brown a couple of days ago against these Colonels. 1-0. DeBarge takes off for second. Pitches in. Brown's throw to second is a good one, but it's not in time. DeBarge got a terrific jump. And even on a perfect throw, he's in safely pretty easily. And that's why he is the Midwest League's leader in stolen bases with now 45 on the season. That's 10 more than Yoshuar Garcia, who is second in the league. 2-0 pitch. It's chased outside. Amick swings and misses for strike one. After the game on Wednesday where all those catcher's interference calls happened, I had several people in the press box and throughout the organization asking me if I thought the Colonels were way far back in the box, and that's why that was occurring. 2-1. It's grounded to short. Ball in front of DeBarge forces him to stop at second. Vasquez picks it, throws to first, and gets the out on Amick. And that'll bring up De Andrade. And at first, I wasn't really sure. I had to go back, look at the replays, watch some of the film, as someone way more knowledgeable than I am would maybe suggest. And I wasn't really sure, even looking at that. First pitch to De Andrade. Wave and a miss on a good curveball. It's 0-1. Today, though, I've been paying really close attention to it. And if you look at the batter's boxes, the right-handed box is completely missing the white line at the back of it. It's totally gone. Beam looks to second. The 0-1. Cut on and missed. Another great curveball. It's 0-2. Of course, the Bandits have a lot of right-handed hitters, but the Colonels have all right-handed hitters. And looking at De Andrade now, a right-handed batter, he is almost out of the batter's box. He's almost behind it. Beam picks to second, and back safely is DeBarge. So I'm not suggesting that the Colonels are hitting outside of the box, hitting illegally, but based on what I'm looking at right now, I can understand why Brown's glove may have been hit three times the other day. 0-2 is tapped foul. Of course, it's up to the home plate umpire, Glenn Meyerhofer, to notice that. But it's hard to do when there's no line. And looking at De Andrade now, I mean, at least two-thirds of that bright yellow right cleat is out of the box. Here's Beams 0-2. Wave and a miss. Another curveball. And another strikeout for Drew Beam. It's not been his best day, but he's racked up 6 Ks, which is just a few shy, actually just one shy of his season high. Unfortunately, it looks like he's not going to get a chance to match that career high as Jesus Asuaje is out of the Bandits' dugout. Beam now just over 70 pitches. He is going to have his start ended after 3 2/3 for what will be the right-hander's second shortest outing of the year. He departs with 2 outs in the bottom of the fourth. Regalado will inherit a man at second and face Pancho Ruiz when we come back. It's 6-1 Colonels on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Hi, this is CeCe Sabathia. Join me in Upstate New York Hall of Fame weekend in Cooperstown and enjoy unforgettable experiences full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 25th through July 28th to welcome the entire Baseball Hall of Fame class of 2025. Visit baseballhall.org today for the full schedule. Look forward to seeing you in Cooperstown.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits, it's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
So here's Pancho Ruiz. He will face Regalado, who makes his 10th appearance of the season and his second this week against the Colonels. Put together an inning and two-thirds scoreless for the Bandits in their win on Tuesday. Cedar Rapids is up 6-1. They hit in the bottom of the fourth with two outs, DeBarge at second, and a right-on-right matchup at the plate. First pitch to Ruiz is high for ball one. And with his scoreless outing earlier this week, Regalado has officially lowered his high A ERA to sub-3. He is 1-0 with a 270 mark. The pitch. Slider down and away. Two balls, no strikes. The 23-year-old hails from Hialeah, Florida, and was a former Miami Hurricane. Pitched one college season there in 2021. The pitch. Popped up. It'll get out of play. Behind home for strike one. Now, Pancho is 1-for-2 in the game, a single and a run scored in the second, and then a strikeout looking in the third. Colonels tag Drew Beam for a career-high 6 runs on 9 hits. Beam is responsible for DeBarge at second, and he's got terrific wheels. Pretty much any base hit into the outfield, he's going to score, or at least get the wave around from Brian Meyer. Regalado sets the 2-1. Nubbed off the end of the bat up the first baseline. Nick will flip it over to first and end the inning with a 1-3 ground out. Nice work from Regalado. He puts an end to the fourth inning and keeps it a 6-1 lead for Cedar Rapids. We're off to the fifth on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Need some River Bandits merchandise? Rascal's Den is the place to go. Located just inside Modern Woodman Park, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store behind Section 7 or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com. Top of the fifth inning at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Quad Cities trails the Colonels 6-1 on this Independence Day. Thrilled to have you tuned in. Daniel Vasquez to lead off against Cole Peschel. First pitch swing, and he skies it in the air towards left field. That's going to be a can of corn for Urbina. He waits for it to come down, makes the catch, and picks up out number one. Now, Peschel has been really good, at least in terms of runs allowed. He's only surrendered one run, and it just happened to be on a solo homer. Colonels have seven hits allowed today. Peschel does. And all of them singles, minus the homer. So he's really limited the damage despite all the traffic he's had to navigate. First pitch to Sam Kulasingham. He shows bunt and pulls back on a pitch low. Sam singled in the first, then reached on an error in the third inning. So he's one for two, and as a result, 4-for-8 in this week. And that pretty much sums up how Sam is seeing the ball right now. The 1-0. On the ground to the right side, second baseman DeBarge has it. Throw off his back foot, cross body is in time. That's a really nice play to get his counterpart Kulasingham. Quickly, two down for Cole Peschel. He's now away from posting a sixth straight start, lasting five or more innings. The only outing for the Colonels he's made this year that did not go five was his first start against Fort Wayne back on May 23rd. Callan Moss is one for two with a single. First pitch to him here is down and away. Last time up, he grounded into the Colonels' 62nd double play of the season. The 1-0. Line drive towards center. Kendall plays it on a bounce. Multi-hit game for Callan Moss. He continues to use the middle of the field. And again, kiss the Bandits, a two-out base runner. That is their fifth of the game. Wow, great to see. A tough way to produce runs as Carson Rockefeller steps up again. First pitch. He takes a strike on the high outside corner. Rockefeller is the only River Bandit who has hit multiple home runs in a game this year. And, of course, that was on opening day, April 5th at Dozier Park in game one of the doubleheader. Peschel, 0-1. Rock swings and hits it high in the air to left center field, but playable. Kendall waves off Urbina, makes the catch deep in the alley, and ends the inning. Another scoreless frame for Cole Peschel. He keeps the Bandits off the board in the fifth and helps the Colonels maintain their 6-1 lead. Halfway through this July 4th matchup, you've been listening to River Bandits Baseball on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Hey fans, catch the excitement of minor league baseball with the Bally Sports Live app. Watch your favorite team or scout the top prospects every game live all season long.
Strike three, you're out.
Plus, stream the Savannah Bananas and emerging fight sports to keep the action going. Best of all, it's totally free. No credit card required. Download the Bally Sports Live app today on your phone or connected device.
The road to royalty runs through the Quad Cities, and whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, stay in the know all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following on X and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag road to royalty. Welcome back to the Vets here in Cedar Rapids. Just out west are the Bandits for the rest of this week. Games against the Colonels tonight, tomorrow and Sunday, a day off Monday, and then a six-game trip to Fort Wayne to take on the Tin Caps. Brandon Whitaker leads off the bottom of the sixth, for the bottom of the fifth, for the Colonels, and takes the first pitch outside from Nicholas Regalado. Whitaker, 6-for-47 entering play. He's 2-for-2 with a pair of singles tonight. Next pitch is a broken bat blooper towards shallow left. Out goes Vasquez, and he can't make the catch. It's over his head, and it drops for Whitaker's third hit of the evening. A baseball can be a fickle game. When it rains, it pours. And when it's going well, you can just do no wrong. And the latter is certainly the case for Whitaker today. Couple of seeing eye singles. Now the blue pit. And Misael Urbina to the plate, right on right. Regalado deals. And the slider is a strike on the high inside corner. Urbina with a two-run double back in the second. Then he walked in the third. That double brought in the first runs of the game. The pitch. Bouncing ball towards short. Could be two. Vasquez got it. Tekula for one. On to first. Double play. 6-4-3 to set down Whitaker and Urbina. Quad Cities turns it for the 56th time this year. And that's how you work around the leadoff hit. So just like that, two gone, and the DH, Andy Lugo, stepping in. 0-for-2 with a strikeout in the second. Regalado's bench is a fastball just outside at 94. Nick has now officially pitched a full inning. Helped Drew Beam get the final out in the fourth. He's got two outs in the fifth. The pitch. Wave and a miss on a good 86-mile-per-hour breaking ball. Speaking of Beam, let's give you his final line. Bandit starter went 3 2/3 today. Gave up 6 runs on 9 hits with a walk and 6 Ks. The 1-1 is chased down and away for strike two. That's going to force Lugo to take a timeout. Caden Kendall has 2 hits. He waits on deck. Regalado's 1-2. Grounded weakly to third. Figgy charges, fields, fires, and got him. Darlene Figueroa with a nice play. He continues to shine at the hot corner. Nothing comes to the leadoff single. A double play ball and a weak grounder set down the Colonels in the fifth. Let's go to the sixth. Still 6-1 Cedar Rapids on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931. But it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play. There's no better way to watch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Woodman Park's 5 unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Quad Cities has 8 hits tonight, but just 1 run to show for it. They trail the Cedar Rapids Colonels on July 4th, 6-1. Brian Gonzalez steps to the plate for the third time to lead off the sixth against Cole Peschel, who is still rolling for Cedar Rapids. First pitch, it's bounced on the ground to short. 2 hops for Whitaker. He fields cleanly, fires to first. And the Bandits DH is 0-for-3 to start the game. So one down, and now the third baseman Figueroa steps up with Carter Frederick on deck. Bottom third of the order has been really productive for Quad Cities tonight. They are combined 4-for-6 with 4 singles, but they've been stranded every time. Peschel deals, and it's a fastball for strike one. Well, if Cole were to finish this frame off and do it allowing 2 runs or fewer, he would secure his second career quality start as a Colonel. A one. Down the middle on a slider. Nothing and two. Infield is shifted towards right, playing Figgy to pull the ball. The 0-2 his way is inside for ball one. Sun is still setting over the home plate side of the ballpark, if you will. But there is a little bit of cloud cover helping cool things off now. Here comes the 1-2. Check swing and a pitch in the dirt. It's a full swing is called by Glenn Meyerhofer. And Figueroa will walk back to the dugout as the ball hit the dirt. But Ruiz doesn't need to throw down. So that is a strikeout for Peschel. Just his third of the night. He hasn't needed him.
Right fielder Carter Frederick.
So here's Carter Frederick, and speaking of thirds, he's looking for his third hit. 2-for-2 with a couple of singles, including a real sharp one back up the middle in the second. First pitch. It's on the ground, foul to the left side, strike one. Frederick has now swung at the first pitch in each of his first 3 ABs today. He's trying to be a little extra aggressive. This is his third time facing Peschel. So he should have a pretty good feel for what's going on out there. But Peschel has retired 6 of the 7 Bandits hitters he's faced in this third trip through the card. A 1 breaking ball is outside. 1 ball, 1 strike. Still sunshine to work with, although it's setting. But they have turned the lights on. A constant hum from a big 4th of July crowd tonight. Of course, they're sticking around for post-game fireworks, just like everybody was yesterday at Modern Woodman Park. The pitch. Wave and a miss. Strike two. Fastball at 91. 6-1 the lead for the Colonels. We're in the top of the 6th inning. Peschel a pitch away from a quality start. The 1-2 to Frederick. Carter chases in the dirt. The ball gets away from Ruiz. He chases it towards the dugout, picks it up, throws to first, and beats Frederick by a couple of steps to complete the strikeout and complete a 1-2-3 frame for Cole Peschel. The Bandits have had no answers for the 22-year-old out of West Virginia. We go to the home half of the 6th. It's still 6-1, Colonels.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that'll bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your visit today at baseballhall.org.
The road to royalty runs through the Quad Cities, and whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, stay in the know all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following on X and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag road to royalty. Nicholas Regalado is working on his second inning out of the River Bandits bullpen. He's back on for the start of the bottom of the 6th. Colonels with the 8, 9, and 1 hitters due up. beginning with Caden Kendall, who has had as good of a week as anybody. And up until tonight, where he's hitting eighth, he's been batting ninth for Cedar Rapids. First pitch, upstairs for ball one. Kendall is 2-for-2 today with an RBI double. He is 6-for-14 in the series. The pitch. Wave and a miss, strike one. I should specify, he's 6-for-14 this week. As far as I'm concerned, the three games in Davenport are a different series from the three games here. 1-1. Outside, 2-1. There's not really a specific rule defining what is and what is not a series, but that's how I'm interpreting it. 2-1 is lined towards third and snagged by Figueroa. He leaps up, reaches to his left, and robs Kendall of what would have been another base hit. Now, Figueroa has had an on and off stretch at the plate, but he has been rock solid at third base, filling in real nicely for Trevor Werner and Austin Charles, who are both banged up. Looks like the Bandits are starting to warm up Jesus Rios in the bullpen as Regalado's now officially through an inning and two-thirds. His first pitch to Connell is lifted high in the air towards right field. That's playable for Carter Frederick. He circles behind it, makes the catch over his left shoulder, and picks up a quick second out.
Second baseman, Kyle DeMarsh.
Well, you got to give both Beam and Regalado credit. Colonel scored 5 in the second, 1 in the third, and in their third trip through the order, spanning from the fourth to now partway through the sixth, Cedar Rapids has had just 2 base runners in its last 10 hitters. Kyle DeBarge has been one of those. He's 2-for-3 with a pair of singles, and Regalado starts him with a strike on the low outside corner. It's actually double barrel action in the Bandits bullpen. Both Rios and Juan Martinez are getting loose. The 0-1. Breaking ball, tap, foul. It's nothing in two. Over on the Colonel's side of things, Samuel Perez is getting loose, the lefty. He warmed up earlier this week, but never actually entered a ball game, so he is due for some time. Colonels have a 6-1 lead over Quad Cities in the bottom of the sixth. They're trying to win a fifth straight July 4th game against the River Bandits. 0-2 pitch from Regalado. And it's lifted foul over the right side. Count holds. DeBarge, 2-for-3 today, 6-for-16 this week. 0-2 again in the dirt. DeBarge now is the owner of a 6-game hit streak and a 10-game on-base streak. In those 10 games, he's got 4 doubles and 5 RBIs. That's pretty darn good for a leadoff man. 1-2 is again in the dirt, scooped up by Brown, and he rolls it towards the first base dugout. Infield is slightly shifted towards right, playing DeBarge to pull. The 2-2. In the dirt again, ball 3. And on that one, you got to give Regalado a bit of a pass. I'm sure you heard the firework boom from somewhere. There's been some folks over left field that have been lighting fireworks on the street, and just it's been a little annoying. 3-2. Got him looking at the knees. Strike 3. No fireworks for Nicholas Regalado. He puts down the Colonels 1-2-3 in the sixth and winds up facing the minimum through 2 1/3 strong innings in relief. Let's go to the seventh. It's 6-1 Cedar Rapids on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Need some River Bandits merchandise? Rascal's Den is the place to go. Located just inside Modern Woodman Park, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store behind Section 7 or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com. Top of the seventh inning, Quad Cities coming back to the plate, this time against a new pitcher, the lefty Samuel Perez, who relieves Cole Peschel. He completed a six-inning quality start, gave up just one run on the solo shot to Carson Rockefort. Kanan Brown leads off the seventh and takes the first pitch fastball up and away. Brown, Torres, and Vasquez to face the southpaw. Perez making his 21st appearance of the year. He is 2-0 with a 2.67 ERA. The pitch. Slider on the outside edge, a called strike one. Brown is 1-for-2, and with his second inning single, has now reached safely in 11 straight ball games. He is batting in the 350s in his last 11 games. 1-1. Down the middle, a called strike two. Now Perez, in the midst of a terrific stretch, he has not allowed an earned run in his last 7 1/3 innings, and he's allowed just one earned run total since April 18th. 1-2. Chased in the dirt. Strike three. Brown down via the K. That's now three straight strikeouts for River Bandits pitching as Peschel added two after completing the sixth inning. His final line, six frames, one run, eight hits, no walks, four Ks. Looks like he is settling into high A pretty well. Eric Torres back to the plate, 0-for-3 atop the order. First pitch is up and away, ball one. You know, again, those fireworks over left field, I know we're right next to a neighborhood, but come on, folks. The pitch, wave and a miss. That's a great changeup, 1-1. It's quite annoying. Looks like they're doing it over the right field fence, too. Goodness gracious. The pitch. Chopper over to second. That should be easy for DeBarge. He'll field belt high and throw to first for out number two. It'd be one thing if it was dark. It's not even dark. We're just past 8 o'clock Central Time. It's 8:13. There's nothing but blue sky above head right now. Here's Daniel Vasquez. He's 0-for-3. First pitch. High in the air, but to straightaway center field. This will be a quick inning for Perez. Kendall makes the catch, and Quad Cities is down in order for the second straight frame. Well, time to stretch here at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Colonels still up 6-1 on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
The road to royalty runs through the Quad Cities, and whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, stay in the know all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following on X and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag road to royalty. Jesus Asuaje had a couple of River Bandits warming up in the last inning, but he'll go to Juan Martinez for the bottom of the seventh, looking to keep the Colonels' lead at five. Billy Amick leads off for Cedar Rapids. First pitch swing, and he hits one high to left field, but it'll hook foul over to that well-occupied party area for strike one. Martinez taking over for Nicholas Regalado, who was great today. 2 1/3 scoreless innings, just one hit allowed. No walks and a strikeout of Kyle DeBarge mixed in there. Martinez out of the stretch, the 0-1. A little low, one ball, one strike. Juan is 0-1 with a 3.04 ERA. Tonight marks his 21st outing of the year. The 24-year-old is from San Salvador, El Salvador. Amick, 0-3, strikeout and a couple of grounders. The 1-1 headed his way is low for ball two. Nobody's warming up in the Colonel's bullpen, and I don't know why there would be, considering Samuel Perez just set down the Bandits in order on 8 pitches in the last half frame. Martinez delivers. Swung on and missed. That was about an 80% swing from Amick. Tried to hold up, but well after he had chased in the dirt, even the count at 2. Martinez sets chest high, kicks his left leg, and fires. Sharply hit. That's into the opposite field for a base hit. Frederick races over, cuts it off in the alley, and he'll hold Amick to a single. One of those plays that does not go in the box score, but the coaches will notice. Frederick took a terrific route in right field to circle behind it and hold Amick to single.
Third baseman, Danny DeAndrade.
And now here's Danny DeAndrade. Danny is 0-3 with a couple of strikeouts. First pitch to him. It's inside for ball one. Well, DeAndrade's 13-game on-base streak is in jeopardy. He has hit 2 of his season's 8 homers during this stretch. The 1-0. High fly ball to straightaway right field. This will be an easy play for Carter Frederick. He waits for it to come down and makes the catch. Back to first goes Amick. Well, Martinez has been so sturdy for the Bandits this year. Anytime he has a rough outing, it really just catches you by surprise. His really only bad outing of the year was 2 appearances ago against Wisconsin on June 24th. He gave up 4 runs in an inning and a third. Here's Pancho Ruiz for the 4th time. First pitch. That's hit well towards left. Torres to his right reaches out and makes the catch. And Amick again retreats to first base. Pretty good swing from Ruiz. I think he got just a tad in front of it. Torres able to range over, and now here's Whitaker, who is 3-3 with 3 singles and a couple of runs scored. Martinez sets. The pitch. Little inside for ball one. The 4 runs he gave up in Wisconsin all came on one swing. He gave up a grand slam to Hedbert Perez. That lifted his ERA from 1.93 to 3.28 on the year. One bad pitch, raising the ERA by 2 points. Next pitch, that's low, 2-0. So a more accurate number to express how he's done this year is an ERA around 1.90. That appearance marked just the 2nd time this year where Martinez allowed more than 1 run. The 2-0. Low and away. 3 balls, no strikes. And it also marked just the 5th time in 20 appearances where Martinez gave up a run, period. Of course, this is his first time facing Cedar Rapids. He did not appear earlier this week. 3-0 to Whitaker. Way outside, ball 4. Quad Cities wants nothing to do with him. So the 2-out walk pushes Amick to 2nd. Whitaker's to 1st, and now another opportunity for Misael Urbina, who is 1-2 with a 2-run double, a walk, and a double play ball in the 5th. Kenan Brown is out to talk with Martinez. While he does that, we can give you some updates from around the Kansas City Royals farm system. Over at Sacred Park, the Columbia Fireflies are going to celebrate the 4th on their home turf. Looking to pick up a win. before the celebration as they're in front of Augusta 2-0 in the top of the ninth. In fact, Fireflies are an out away from a shutout victory against the Green Jackets. Augusta is the Braves' single-A affiliate. Brown's back behind the dish. The first pitch. Urbina nearly hit. Jumps out of the way inside. Ball one. At the double-A level, Northwest Arkansas has a 2-1 lead over Springfield in the top of the third inning. And in Omaha, the Chasers lead the I-Cubs 1-0 at Werner Park. Here's the 1-0. Strike on the outer edge. 1-1. So with those three games in mind, Quad Cities is the only full-season Royals affiliate on the road for July 4th. But that's okay. It's good to be home during Red, White, and Boom. The pitch. That's fouled off of Urbina's foot. Bounces about 5 feet to the left of home for strike two. We'll give you the updates on the Arizona Complex League and the Dominican Summer League during the post-game show. As far as action in the Midwest League goes, everybody is still playing tonight. A few games in the eighth inning, a few games in the seventh, like us, here at Veterans Memorial Stadium. 6-1 Colonels, two on, two outs. The 1-2 to Urbina. It's lifted foul out of play over the screen. Sixteen pitches for Martinez here in the seventh. Gave up the leadoff single to Billy Amick. Got a couple of lazy fly balls. And then Brandon Whitaker drew a two-out walk on four straight out of the zone. Martinez, though, going after Urbina. Another 1-2. Breaking ball on the ground to third. Figueroa's got it on the backhand, and he wins the race to third base, tapping the pillow before Amick gets there. Five unassisted to end the inning. A scoreless frame in the books for Juan Martinez. Quad Cities has six outs to work with on offense. They trail 6-1 on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Hi, this is CeCe Sabathia. Join me in Upstate New York Hall of Fame weekend in Cooperstown and enjoy unforgettable experiences full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 25th through July 28th to welcome the entire Baseball Hall of Fame class of 2025. Visit baseballhall.org today for the full schedule. Look forward to seeing you in Cooperstown.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Samuel Perez back to the mound for the Colonels in the top of the eighth. It's Sam Coolisingham leading off for the Bandits. Take the first pitch outside. It's 1-0. Just eight pitches for Perez as he cruised through the order in the seventh. Coolisingham, Moss, and Rockefeller to face him here. Next pitch is outside for ball two. Coolisingham is 1-for-3, a single in the first. He reached via air in the third and grounded out in the fifth on a nice play by DeBarge. 2-0 is down and in. Three balls, no strikes. Coolisingham's splits this year have been almost even. Right, left, doesn't matter. He is a true switch hitter. 2-0. Outside, correction, that was 3-0. And now ball four. So after dominating the Bandits with a quick seventh inning. A patient Kula Singham draws the leadoff walk, and the Bandits get their first base runner since the fifth inning. And that base runner was Callan Moss. He had a single for his second of the night. Colonels looking to turn their second double play of the game. Perez deals, and it's a called strike on the outer edge. Samuel is 25 years old from Barquisimeto, Venezuela. The pitch is outside on a changeup, 1-1. This season is his second, actually his third for Cedar Rapids, but just a handful of games in 2022. The pitch high in the air to straightaway center field, essentially right at Kendall. Just a couple of steps to his left. He makes the catch. Moss is out number one. Well, he was originally a member of the Angels system. 2018-2019, Perez dominated the Dominican Summer League. Put up a 1.32 ERA in two seasons in the DSL. Angels let him go, and the Twins picked him up. He's been in their system since 2021. Here's Carson Rockefeller. He'll take inside for a ball. Rock is responsible for Quad City's only run as the Bandits trail 6-1. Carson hit an opposite field solo homer over the left field wall for his 10th of the year. 1-0 pitch from Perez. Ground ball at first, off the glove of Amick. He'll pick it up, though, and tap first for the out. Kula Singham up to second base without a throw. It's been a bit of an adventurous day at first for Billy Amick. He's had three ground balls come his way. All three have been mishandled in some way, shape, or form, but in two of the three, he's been able to knock down the ball and keep it nearby and still get an out. He did commit an error, though, in the third that allowed a man on. Bandits trail by five. Bandits second, two outs for Brian Gonzalez. I mentioned Quad Cities has been super successful with men in scoring position this week. As Gonzo lines one past the diving Whitaker into left. Urbina's up with it. Kula Singham's headed home. Here's the throw. Won't get him. Now the throw to second, and Gonzalez is tagged out trying to advance. It'll be an RBI single to make it a 6-2 Colonels lead. But an overzealous Brian Gonzalez puts an end to the two-out rally. We'll be back with the bottom of the eighth. 6-1, 6-2 Colonels on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Need some River Bandits merchandise? Rascal's Den is the place to go. Located just inside Modern Woodman Park, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store behind Section 7 or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com. It's now a four-run lead for Cedar Rapids as Brian Gonzalez's two-out RBI single has made it a 6-2 game. Bottom of the eighth, led off by Andy Lugo. Juan Martinez still pitching for the Bandits. First toss is tipped into the glove of Brown for strike one. 7-8-9 for the Colonels due up. Lugo, Kendall, and Connell. Martinez worked around a single and a walk to pitch a scoreless seventh inning. Now he delivers the 0-1. And it's fouled straight back for strike two. Colonels look like they're going to start warming somebody up momentarily. And as I say that, a right-hander is starting to throw down in the first base bullpen. I think it's Jeremy Lee. Here's the 0-2 to Lugo. Upstairs for a ball. Andy is one of two Colonels who has not recorded a hit today. Danny D'Andrade, the three-hole hitter, and Lugo. Lugo's 0-3. Here's Martinez's 1-2 pitch. Lifted up over on the right field side. Shallow. Frederick ranges over near the chalk, makes the catch. And Lugo is out number one. Frederick just got behind that Colonel's bullpen. Nothing got too adventurous. Here's Caden Kendall. He wears number one, filled in with stars and stripes on the back of that Colonel's specialty navy jersey. 2-3 with a single and an RBI double back in the third. First pitch from Martinez. Inside for ball one. Now Juan is looking for a second straight scoreless two-inning appearance. Threw two scoreless against Wisconsin on the 29th. His 1-0 pitch. That's low. Two balls, no strikes. Goes to show Martinez. Gives up the grand slam on the 24th. And then 5 days later, here's two shutout. Third pitch. Again, popped up on the right field side. Shallow once more. Frederick ranges in, waves off Kula Singham, and makes another catch over his left shoulder. Out number two.
Right fielder,
lots of fly balls induced by the Bandits bullpen today, and that's the fourth in the last two innings to Carter Frederick, who's staying busy. But the lazy fly ball has been a big piece to the Bandits' pitching success this season. Here's Justin Connell. Justin, 1-3 with that two-run homer in the second for his first as a Colonel and his first as a member of the Twins farm system. Right on right, the pitch. Curveball dips in there for strike one at a slow 76 miles per hour. Connell playing in his first game since Sunday. He now owns an 8-game on-base streak after the homer. The 0-1. Down and in, one ball, one strike. Back during his Nationals days, spent some time as a Wilmington Blue Rock in the South Atlantic League, another team owned by Dave Heller in Main Street Baseball. Time called. Connell steps out and takes a deep breath. That group also owns the Billings Mustangs, a former Reds rookie affiliate, now in the Independent Pioneer League. Here comes the 1-1. That's low. Two balls, one strike. Matt Allen is the GM over in Billings. A shout out to Matt. He and I worked together when I was in Grand Junction in 2019. Back then, the GJ Rockies in the Pioneer League. Now they're the GJ Jackalopes. 2-1 pitch. Outside for ball three. Colonels have a 6-2 lead in the bottom of the eighth. They've got 6 runs on 11 hits and are 4-13 with men in scoring position today. 3-1 from Martinez. Fastball right there for strike two. The Bandits, conversely, are 1-5 with men in scoring position. That one hit, the 2-out single from Brian Gonzalez not long ago. But their only extra base hit in their 9 total is Rockefeller's solo bomb. Payoff pitch. Fly ball towards right. Back goes Frederick. He jumps up and did he catch it? Yeah, he did. A twisting, twirling, leaping catch for Carter Frederick. That ends the bottom of the eighth. Well, he's had a busy evening in right field, and that was one of his trickier plays of the day. Quad City's down to its final 3 outs as they step to the plate in the top of the ninth. They'll face a new Colonels pitcher looking for an Independence Day comeback.
Hey fans, catch the excitement of minor league baseball with the Bally Sports Live app. Watch your favorite team or scout the top prospects every game live all season long.
Strike three! You're out!
Plus, stream the Savannah Bananas and emerging fight sports to keep the action going. Best of all, it's totally free. No credit card required. Download the Bally Sports Live app today on your phone or connected device.
The road to royalty runs through the Quad Cities, and whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, stay in the know all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following on X and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag road to royalty. Well, the River Bandits are 3 outs away from losing a fifth consecutive Independence Day ball game to the Cedar Rapids Colonels. For whatever reason, the fireworks have just not been prevalent when the Bandits are on the diamond on July 4th. Today, they've got 2 runs on 9 hits, but again, the one extra base hit is courtesy of Carson Rockefeller, who had an opposite field homer in the fourth. In the ninth, they will look to cut into this deficit with Darlene Figueroa, Carter Frederick, and Canyon Brown, the bottom third of the order, trying to spark a rally against Hunter Hoops, the right-hander who's in out of the bullpen, making his first outing of the week for the Colonels. First pitch, it's called strike to Figueroa, 0-1. This is Hoops' first outing since he pitched a scoreless inning against the South Bend Cubs on June 29th, right back here at the Vet. Figueroa is 1-for-3 with a single. 1-0 is outside for strike one. Rather for ball one, I beg your pardon. Hoops is 25 years old. Hoops, H-O-O-P-E-S. He is from Fairfax, Virginia. The 2-0. Wave and a miss. Great slider. That's 2-1. Hoops in his college career started out at John A. Logan College in Cartersville, Illinois. Then played 2 years at UNC Asheville and then 2 years at Alabama. The 1-2 is hit deep to the opposite field. Into the corner goes Urbina in front of the track. He'll make the catch. Good swing from Figueroa, but it's just allowed out number one. Well, this season is his first as a member of the Cedar Rapids Colonels. He had a pretty good college career, at least in his time with Alabama. 2023, he played independent ball for the Schaumburg Boomers in the Frontier League. First pitch to Carter Frederick is in the dirt, 1-0. He did not pitch last year, but the Twins liked what they saw in him. Signed him as an undrafted free agent. He started this year in single-A Fort Myers, pitched to a 2.14 ERA, and earned a quick call-up to the Midwest League. The 1-0. Frederick swings and misses for strike two. That's strike one. 1-1 on Frederick, who takes off his helmet, wipes the sweat from his brow, and makes a full circle around home plate. He's probably not the only one sweating out there today. The sun is no longer in play, and folks are still fanning themselves. The 1-1. Fouled back into the plexiglass door. You can hear the reaction from the fans. It's 1-2. So great story to see Hoops out here jumping through hoops, working his way from a small school at John A. Logan College all the way up to the SEC, and then from independent ball to affiliated ball, and not only making it here, but pitching well here. He's got a 2.08 ERA as a Colonel. The 1-2, again, fouled back. Count holds. In seven appearances, Hoops has allowed two earned runs in 8 2/3 innings. A 1.04 whip and just a 1.33 opponent's batting average. He's only given up four hits in nine innings as a Colonel this year. Frederick being pesky, the 1-2. Looped up, middle of the infield. Who's got it? Right now, Hoops is calling for it. He's called off by the third baseman, De Andrade, who makes a basket catch for the out. One more chance for the Bandits. And it's the nine-hole hitter, Canyon Brown.
Thanks for playing and supporting the Turtles Foundation.
Brownie is 1-for-3. Singled in the second inning, reached on a fielder's choice in the fourth, and then struck out in the seventh. 6-2, the lead for the Colonels. Hoops going for his second save of the year, as this one's low for ball one. Tomorrow, the Bandits will play game two of this new three-game weekend series. The pitch. That's crushed. Deep to left fielder. Bina looks up. It is gone. Canyon Brown saves some fireworks for the ninth. It's his first professional homer, and he's trimmed the Bandits' deficit to three. That one got out of here quick. Just over the high wall and into the party deck area. Number one as a Bandit for Canyon Brown. He has been swinging such a good bat lately. He's earned that. Back to the top of the order for Eric Torres. Quad Cities ain't done just yet. First pitch. Swing and a miss on a slider. How awesome is that? Canyon with his first home run since he was playing for North Carolina A&T last year in college. The pitch. Ground ball sharply hit, but snagged by the third baseman, De Andrade. He spins, throws, and retires Torres to end the ball game. Cedar Rapids deals Quad Cities its fifth straight loss on Independence Day. The Bandits with a couple of home runs for some fireworks, but the full show will be ended by the Colonels. 6-3 the final on a Friday night at Veterans Memorial Stadium. The River Bandits postgame show comes your way next on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play. There's no better way to watch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Woodman Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000. Summer is here, and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Need some River Bandits merchandise? Rascal's Den is the place to go. Located just inside Modern Woodman Park, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store behind Section 7 or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com. Final time on this July 4th evening, we welcome you back to Veterans Memorial Stadium here in Cedar Rapids, where the Colonels defeat Quad Cities by a final score of 6-3. Kyle Kirchhoff back with you for today's post-game show. Let's get things rolling with the box score. First for Quad Cities, 3 runs on 10 hits and no errors. They went 1-for-5 with men in scoring position and stranded 7 on base. For the Cedar Rapids Colonels, tonight 6 runs, 11 hits, 1 error. They went 4-for-13 with men in scoring position and stranded 6. The winning pitcher, riding his second quality start of the year, right-hander Cole Peschel. He was terrific tonight. 6 innings, 1 run allowed on 8 hits, no walks, and 4 strikeouts. He is now 3-1 as a member of Cedar Rapids. For Quad Cities, Drew Beam is tagged with his 7th loss of the season. He worked 3 2/3 innings and allowed 6 runs all earned on a season-high matching 9 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. I mentioned that Hoops was coming on for a save opportunity. That was not correct. He came in with a 4-run lead, so no save. He gives up a run on a Canyon Brown solo homer in the ninth. Samuel Perez gives up a home run on a, gives up a run and an RBI single from Brian Gonzalez in the eighth. Those are the only 2 hits and the only 2 runs allowed by the Colonels' bullpen today. The Bandits' bullpen was better than that. Nicholas Regalado and Juan Martinez combined for 4 1/3 shutout frames. They gave up just 3 base runners. They only needed 1 strikeout. They did everything they could to keep Quad Cities in the game, but the Bandits just could not quite get the bats going today. Final time of the game, 2 hours and 7 minutes, with a big crowd on hand at 5,278. Here at Veterans Memorial Stadium. The 2 home runs, the offensive highlights for the Bandits today. Again, Carson Rockefeller with his team leading 10th of the season, an opposite field shot. And as far as the league leaderboards go, that ties him for the 6th most in the Midwest League this year. And then Canyon Brown, with the Bandits down to their final out in the 9th, launches his first River Bandits and his first professional home run, parking one on the deck over beyond the left field wall. Let's get you one more look at the Midwest League scoreboard. Actually, this would be the first look at the scoreboard tonight. There's only one other final. We moved so quickly today. We beat out some Eastern Division teams. Over in Lansing, the Fort Wayne Tin Caps got a win over the Lugnuts 6-3. Over in Wisconsin, in Appleton to be specific, Beloit leads the Timber Rattlers 5-3 in the 8th. They're also in the 8th in Great Lakes, and boy, all the fireworks belong to the Whitecaps in that game. Goodness gracious, West Michigan has been a juggernaut all year. They lead the Loons 15-0 at Dow Diamond. The Whitecaps are going to be 54-24 after tonight. For the South Bend Cubs, they're hosting the Peoria Chiefs today, and for the start of a weekend series, Peoria scored 7 of its 8 runs in the top of the 4th. They lead 8-4 moving to the 8th, and in Lake County, the Captains trail Dayton 4-1 at Classic Auto Group Park. We mentioned earlier, still baseball being played in the Royals farm system. Single-A Columbia did hold on for its 2-0 shutout win over Augusta. Double-A Northwest Arkansas still leads Springfield 2-1. They're now in the sixth. And at the Triple-A level in Omaha, the Storm Chasers trail the I-Cubs 4-1 in the sixth inning. Over in the Dominican Summer League today, DSL Royals Ventura lost at home to DSL Astros Blue. And then DSL Royals Fortuna walked off in 11 innings by DSL Tampa Bay. In the Arizona Complex League, the ACL Royals get a win in a 7-inning contest against the ACL Mariners, 3-2 the final in Peoria. Looks like Trevor Werner was playing in that game for ACL Royals. That's a terrific sign, and he hit a home run. So Werner, 2-for-3 in his return to action, and hopefully coming back to Quad Cities here soon. As I mentioned, tomorrow night we'll feature game two of this 3-game series. It'll be another 6:35 first pitch. Right-hander Josh Hansel will get the start for Quad Cities. Hansel 0-1 with a 2.90 ERA. Alejandro Hidalgo gets the start for the Colonels. He's 0-1 with a 4.08. That will do it for our broadcast tonight. We'll get to the final records here. Forgot to mention that. With today's loss, Quad Cities now 47-32 this year. They're 8-5 in the second half and 23-17 on the road. For Cedar Rapids, they're now 45-34 overall, 5-8 in the half and 27-17 here at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Okay, with that, we will officially call it a night from the Vets, and a bit of an early night. Lots of fireworks, though, already starting to pop up behind the center field wall in downtown Cedar Rapids. It's always a fun drive back to the hotel on July 4th. Wherever you're celebrating from tonight, thank you again so much for tuning in, and we hope you have a wonderful rest of your evening with some great festivities. Please, please celebrate safely and responsibly. Fireworks, alcohol, be safe out there. Take care of each other, and tune in tomorrow night for game two of this 3-game set. Again, another 6:35 first pitch right back here at Veterans Memorial Stadium in Cedar Rapids. I'm Kyle Kirchwell. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time on the River Bandits Baseball Network.